The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, well, greetings. Welcome to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. We're so thrilled that you have chosen to tune in to our program today. Delighted to bring to you some special content. Again, The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian. And as our key sponsor, we're thankful to PC for making The Beacon possible. We air on 960 The Patriot. We appreciate the radio station here. Of course, Jeremy, our lead guy producing the show, we appreciate Jeremy for all he does. And I'm grateful to have in studio with me again today, Jeff Blake, superintendent of Phoenix Christian.
Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning. Well, and today, Jeff, we have a special guest, Dr. Jeff McGee. Let me give just a little background, and then I'll have you introduce Dr. McGee as well. But Dr. McGee is passionate about equipping leaders with principles and strategies to lead tomorrow's organization. He's studied and he's witnessed barriers between diverse groups where issues of trust, decision-making roles can be and often are misunderstood. Dr. McGee has successfully led many organizations through training, consultation, has positively impacted organizational culture and relationship building efforts. Super cool background. His interactive approach to engagement empowers leaders to think differently and challenge the norms. He's got many years of experience as an educator and trainer for K through 12 schools, higher education institutions, businesses, nonprofit organizations, and he's continued his work and research in order to seek to dismantle cross-cultural and leadership misunderstandings through education, practice, and policy making. He holds a Bachelor's of Arts in Community Ministry and a Master's of Arts in Organizational Leadership from Geneva College. He holds a Doctorate in Education and Educational Leadership from Northern Arizona University. He is the founder and CEO of Cross Cultural Dynamics. Dr. Jeff McGee, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We're so thrilled that you could do it today. And absolutely. Jeff, this is a contact that you initially made. Why don't you give us a little background and tell the listeners kind of how God allowed your path to cross with Dr. McGee?
Well, sure. So the function of this show is to shine a light on what God's doing in our community. And just to touch a little bit on Phoenix Christian this morning, one of the things that God has done at Phoenix Christian, and we emphasize God did it, is that we've shifted to a beautiful tapestry. We use the word off air this morning of bouquet, God's bouquet of diversity. And for Phoenix Christian and for any organization, they can quickly become stale water, mm-hmm. a pond that needs fresh water. And Danae Pierre, who is the executive director of the Surge Network, connected Dr. McGee and myself as we look for outside voices and outside influence and outside wisdom, breathe from God and breathe from wisdom. Dr. McGee and I, when we met earlier this week in my office, even affirmed all truth is God's truth.
Amen.
And he has an opportunity to proclaim that in a secular environment and a Christian environment. And so, Danae, thank you. If you're listening out there, you connected us. We met, we followed through like we said we were going to. And we had an opportunity to meet, and in that occasion, God moved.
Absolutely, he did. He did. And God shows himself up in various ways and different forms, right?
He did, and we had an opportunity, just as an illustration of a passion of your heart, mm-hmm. To take a look at a campus that we're celebrating 70 years this year, and to walk you around our campus, and without any necessary introduction, you saw with your own eyes of wisdom of the way God's built you and designed your life for some of the unique elements at PC.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm looking forward to an unfolding relationship, mm-hmm. an unfolding opportunity to learn from Dr. McGee and to allow and provide a platform for Dr. McGee to speak into our organization, Steve. So I'm excited where this goes from here. This is a conversation that's yet unfolding this morning as we all get to know each other formally, but I'm blessed to be here.
Well, for sure. And definitely we want to, you know, unpack the story of cross-cultural dynamics, yeah. and learn a little bit about how God's using the organization and the other team members and just the variety of ways in which God is continuing and building that organization. But maybe in advance of that, we take a step back and let's give the listeners a chance to know Dr. Jeff McGee. Give us a little personal background, where you're originally from, how in the world you ended up in Phoenix, and then we'll go from there.
Right. So, well, first, I've ended up in Phoenix probably the way most people end up in Phoenix. You get sick of the cold weather, right? So I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And
Does that make you a Steelers fan?
I'm a huge Steelers fan.
Oh, man. The Black Curtain.
They'll be out here December 8th. So just really excited about that. They're playing the Cardinals. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I grew up the son of a preacher's kid.
Okay.
So I grew up in the church. And, you know, we, it's, I, people laugh when I say I grew up a preacher's kid because they look at me like, are you serious? Right? They don't believe me. but yeah, so I grew up there and, you know, really enjoyed my time in Pittsburgh. And I have a lot of, all my family's still out there. So I moved out to the Phoenix area about 6 years ago. And I moved out here simply, I just got sick of the cold weather, to be quite honest with you. We got tired of cold weather. But I also knew, you know, it was time for me to leave. You know, I needed to a new experience in my life. And so when I got out here to the Phoenix area, just began praying about, you know, what God, what do you want me to do? And that's when I went to NAU and pursued my degree there. Found a job out here and just began my journey.
Go Jacks, right?
Yeah, the Lumberjacks.
So as a, growing up as a preacher's kid, you know, both of my, my parents are PKs. And, you know, I also grew up in the church and you know, with a very familiar understanding of the gospel and so forth. Talk about that personally for you. I know for many of us who you have that familiarity, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, today I'm going to take for granted what Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm going to take for granted the grace by which I live. But, you know, quite candidly, without ever having that as a goal, I accomplished it a lot, especially in my early years. What's your story like? How did that work for you?
It ended up well, but it didn't always, it wasn't always well throughout the process. So, you know, growing up preacher's kid, you know, we were, a lot of eyes were on us, me and my siblings. And for me, it was, I didn't know anything outside of church, right? My parents were really conservative folks. And we, my brother and I, you know, even to this day laugh because we weren't allowed to attend like school dances and hang out with people. And it was just all family, right? And where my sisters are a lot younger than us, but they were allowed to do everything. So it wasn't fair. My brother and I are still a little bit upset with our parents.
That's right.
But it's okay.
So it's true. Life really isn't fair.
Life isn't fair, right? So
how many siblings?
So I have three siblings.
Okay.
I have three siblings. Yeah. I'm the oldest of the three.
So four of you guys. Yeah.
Four of us. So, you know, after I got all that, right, probably around 1990, 91, I had a big change in my life where my grandmother passed away and I was extremely close to her. And I can trace back my life to around that time when she had passed away where I started slipping. And I actually walked away from the church probably after I got out of high school and said, I'll just do life on my own. I don't need God. I'll do life on my own and I don't need him. And that didn't turn out too well for me. Like
I always ask people, so how's that working for you?
It didn't work out too well. And so I came back to the Lord in 2007.
Okay.
I came back to the Lord. And it's just been a wonderful journey since then. You know, part of my story is I have a son. And I raised my son. I was a single parent all my life. And raising him around that time, we ended up homeless. That's when the real estate market tanked. And him and I were homeless for a while, and I couldn't get a job. I didn't, all I had was a high school diploma. I had some real estate experience, and that's all I had.
Right.
And since the real estate jobs were gone, there was nothing for me to do. So it was, you know, I had to get back on my knees and say, God, I need you. So at that time, that's when God started changing things and working in my life. And, you know, a little 10, 12 years later, you know, here I am.
You know,
and God's been, just been a true blessing in my life. And, you know, I sort of regret the decision of walking away from him. But and at the same time, I don't regret it because I have a lot of experiences and learned experience through that time, through that process.
You know, one of the common threads that seems to run through the episodes that, you know, we like to say God orchestrates for the show because, you know, quite candidly, you know, we're not a big time syndicated radio program. We're a couple of guys that get together once a week and enjoy a conversation that usually ends up celebrating how God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. And just like you said, you wouldn't wish for yourself or for anyone else to become homeless or to go through a desperate situation. Yeah. And yet, you know, I can hear in your voice, and I know talking off the air, that you wouldn't trade how God used that.
Absolutely not.
For anything, even the chance to miss going through it. And, you know, the benefit not only to you, but to your son.
Right.
That comes out of that difficult time. Isn't it amazing, Jeff, how God uses that those points of discomfort in a significant way?
He's got his own curriculum written specifically just for us.
Amen.
And he knows just what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely. Cute. Yeah.
So Geneva and then NAU, education as kind of a focal point. Talk a little bit about those experiences.
Yeah, so whenever I came back to the Lord in 2007, and then I went to Geneva, because we were in Pittsburgh there at that time, to go to a Christian liberal arts school at that time in my life was so, so important for me, because I was able to have and use the Bible as a foundation of my learning, and that really propelled and helped my learning throughout the years. And I still think back to those days of the people I've met and the classes I have every single book, paper, workbook through my my bachelor and my master's program there. And I still have it. I still use it. I still reflect on it. Just the wonderful things God did in my life back then and during those times. So, and then my experience at NAU was just fantastic too. The great people I met, and even though it was a secular school, God still used me to start cross-cultural, which we can talk about in a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, if you're just tuning into The Beacon today, our guest is Dr. Jeff McGee, also in studio with us, Jeff Blake from Phoenix Christian. And we're learning a little bit about Dr. McGee's background. We're going to talk in this next segment, if you'll join us and stay with the program today, about how really God grew him up in a Christian home, allowed him to walk away from his faith at a level that left him kind of in a desperate place, homeless with a young son, and redeemed all of that to lead him into cross-cultural dynamics. God doesn't waste any experience in our life. Come back for our second segment. This is The Beacon, and thanks for tuning in.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. I'm your host, Steve Woods. In studio with me today, Jeff Blake, and also Dr. Jeff McGee from Cross Cultural Dynamics. And if you're just joining us, we had a chance to get to know Dr. McGee a little bit, learn a little bit about his background. And as we turn the corner into this segment, talk a little bit about the passion, the fire that God lit in his life, in his heart, for what he's doing today, and how, you know, oftentimes we don't realize what God is preparing us for while he's preparing us. And then you hit the stride and go, oh man, this connects totally to what I've experienced and been through. So with that, Dr. Mead, talk a little bit about the founding experiences that are behind cross-cultural dynamics. And then we'll talk later about what God's actually doing through the organization today. But where did that come from? Where did it germinate to begin with?
Absolutely. Yeah, and as Jeff mentioned, God does have a curriculum already designed for us. So I did have a really transformational experience in 2009. So as I said, I came back to the Lord in 2007. And in 2009, I was in Fresno, California, visiting some friends. And on that particular weekend, my friend's church was actually having church in the community. So they had a church service in a community that was under-resourced. It was a low-income community. And they brought church to the community, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah. So they went there and they asked me to volunteer. And I said, you know, of course, I'm here. I'm nothing else for me to do. I might as well volunteer. So as I was volunteering, I met a member of their church. And it was a Hispanic man that came up to me and just began talking to me. And as he was talking to me, he shared with me his story of his salvation, how he got to the church. And as he shared his story with me, he went on to say that he was married, had two or three kids. I can't remember the exact number. And he got hooked on drugs, on cocaine, and how it ruined his life. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. He lost his job. He became homeless and living on the streets. And then he decided, you know, I need to get my life together. At some point, I don't remember how long it took him to realize that. He said, I need to get my life together. So he went to the church. And the first church he went to was a Caucasian church, and they told him he couldn't come into the church until he got clean.
Mm.
Then he wanted to say he went to another church, and I don't remember the ethnicity or the race background of this church, but he went to that church and said, you're not dressed appropriately. You're not wearing a tie and a suit, so you can't come in. So he went on to say he went to church after church, and they all rejected him because he did not fit the mold of that church until he found the church that he was at now, which accepted him, and now he was clean and on a great journey. But I remember when I was leaving Fresno and flying back to Pittsburgh, my heart just sank. I was emotional for months after that.
Yeah.
And I kept just thinking back to his story, and I kept thinking, how has the church got to a point where we're rejecting people from hearing the gospel?
Right.
And I remember going through that time, and my heart was just broken. My heart was heavy. And I remember God saying to me, you know, I understand how you feel, but imagine how I feel.
Right.
And that was one of the most powerful things that God has ever said to me. And so that started the journey of me just thinking where the church is at currently, the state of the church. And I would argue that many churches, it's the same, no matter where you're at in the world. Because of the culture of America, the culture of people, we just don't accept people for who they are. We want them to look like us, think like us, act like us, behave like us. And if they don't, then we cast them away. Mm-hmm. And for that to take place in the church really bothers me, and it bothers me to my core today.
God gave you a gift, mm-hmm, in that experience, in that exchange of the chance to see through the eyes of Christ,
right?
What and feel like you said. You know, if you feel this way, imagine how I feel. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Jesus talked about, you know, a narrow road and a narrow gate, but I'm 100%, maybe 110% sure he wasn't looking to us to narrow that gate.
Right, right.
You know, that's not at all the intent or the idea of that passage. And what's, mm-hmm, what's interesting about what you talked about and what your friend experienced there in Fresno is that I doubt seriously any of those churches got together and had a meeting and said, hey, how can we, you know, alienate people, make them feel uncomfortable, and be unwelcoming.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just not something you see in a bulletin or a brochure for a church. And so the point being, mm-hmm, without ever even trying,
yeah,
we can shut the door on somebody hard and it's effortless and completely subconscious.
Yep.
Which means what? If we're going to make a difference, right, we're going to have to be intentional and maybe even overcompensate.
Right. Absolutely.
To get there.
Yeah.
To get there. And so from that experience, what next?
Yeah. So what happened next was, so that was back in 2009. And fast forward about 5-6 years later, when I moved to Arizona, I started working at an organization, a nonprofit. And in my current position, the position I had at that time allowed me to sit in on the upper leadership meetings. but also be close enough to the community to hear what the community was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time also, I started my doctorate program trying to think what my dissertation was going to be on.
Sure.
So through my experiences at the nonprofit, I started seeing a huge disconnect between the nonprofit and what and the community and what they were saying. The nonprofit was comprised of upper class Caucasian males.
Got it.
On the board and the executive team. The community was actually South Phoenix community, which was more of a minority based community. So I just started seeing a lot of these, you know, the conversations that were being had were just not on the same page. They were two totally different ballparks. And so I started looking up some research and saying, okay, what can I do my dissertation on? There has to be research on this topic already. To my surprise, there wasn't.
Interesting.
There was only research in the education field, not in the nonprofit field. So that's when I said, okay, that's my dissertation topic. So my dissertation looked at cross-cultural dynamics between white-led organizations working in communities of color and how true trust and transformation can be built and developed collaboratively. So that's where my dissertation and that's where my journey started back in 2014. It started in my academic and my spiritual world there.
Wow, that's fantastic. So there you've had that exposure and that experience mm-hmm. initially in a church setting.
Right.
And then in a nonprofit setting.
Right.
And then really had to, based on available research, look at the education research that was out there or pursue that level. So now you're on right. three tiers, but seeing a common thread that runs through it. So listeners, if you're just tuning in, we've got Dr. Jeff McGee, cross-cultural dynamics here today with us and learning a lot about this. When we come back, we're going to talk about the idea of segregation in heaven. Is there segregation in heaven like there is here on earth? What's that going to look like and how's it going to be different? Thanks for tuning in. Catch us in segment three.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon today. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. Our guest today, Dr. Jeff McGee, a founder and CEO of Cross Cultural Dynamics, also in studio, Jeff Blake. And, you know, Dr. McGee, hearing your story and kind of unpacking the path to this point, it's clear that God had birthed in you this passion. You've been given a glimpse of something that you know is broken. You have a heart to see the Lord fix it, and He's equipping you to do so out of your, you know, the pursuit of your doctorate comes cross-cultural dynamics. Give us that next step. What does it look like? What does it look like today? What's happening at cross-cultural dynamics today?
Yeah, so today we are working in every sector of organizations. So we work with nonprofits, businesses, in education, so higher ed, K-12, and we even have a youth program that we started teaching youth how to collaborate and build relationships across culture, churches, and city governments. So those are the sectors that we currently work in right now. But it started a couple years ago. The organization was formalized, and it was just me by myself doing some consulting with some people that I've met through the years, just needing some help, you know, in this space. But then as I kept doing this, you know, I really felt led to start cross-cultural dynamics. I really had no intentions of starting the organization. I really didn't know what God had for me, planned for me. I was thinking I was going to go teach in higher education or something after mm-hmm. I got my doctorate. But cross-cultural dynamics was organically developed, right? And it was just myself. Now, fast forward, we have about six people on the team right now, and we're looking to add a couple more at the beginning of the next year. But it's going through this very interesting transition. As I said, we work in all sectors, but I really feel God pulling me personally away from all the sectors except the church.
Interesting.
The church is where my heart is at, and I look back over my experiences, as I explained, over the past 10 years, and even growing up, you know, being a PK, I really can see myself in the now and in the future just working specifically with churches and Christian organizations and schools and things like that.
So perhaps under the umbrella of cross-cultural dynamics, this team will have areas of key focus that individually they're passionate about. And for you personally, that one that seems to be bubbling back to the surface is the same one where God really called you in the first place, and that's within the church. And, you know, we talked off the air about, you know, the kingdom of heaven and how as a part of the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, kingdom would come. You know, here. And what characterizes that? And how does that relate to our conversation?
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that. I've been throughout my life in a lot of different churches, you know. Just growing up being a PK, my dad preached at different churches, and we visited a lot of churches. And I always saw the same thing. I always saw people that looked alike, acted alike, behaved alike. Even coming out to Arizona, it's the same thing. But it's just something special, and I don't think it's just me, but I also would argue, I think it's something special for God, too, to see people from diverse backgrounds coming together in any way, shape, or form to worship Him, whether that's in an actual church setting or in a school setting. When I toured PC, and I walked into the classroom, and I saw just a diverse group of students, you know, that's what the kingdom of heaven looks like, right? We're not all segregated. We're not going to there's not going to be a higher and lower income communities in heaven. There's not going to be a black, white, brown, green, pink section of heaven, right? I honestly don't think any of us will care about that while we're in heaven.
So you don't think there's going to be a bunch of different denominations?
I don't think there's going to be different denominations in heaven. I don't think any of us will care about that. So the question I always ask myself is, if we all can agree that that's what heaven looks like, why can't we agree that it can't look like that on earth? Should it look like that on earth? And I would say, yes, it should look like that on earth. You know, like we were talking off air, you know, Jesus said in his prayer, God, your kingdom come in heaven like it is. I'm sorry, in earth like it is in heaven. Sorry, got confused there. And in heaven, there's no segregation, right? We're all together worshiping God.
One voice.
One voice, right?
Okay.
But somehow on earth, we missed it. We've changed it. And I would really love to see, and I don't know if I'll see this in my lifetime, churches coming together and truly collaborating together. We can have our own separate services, but let's collaborate together for the betterment of our communities and to win souls for Christ.
Well, and what happens is, and you know, I appreciate what you saw at Phoenix Christian because I celebrate that, you know, as well. And that's just by God's design. Amen. That's Him doing it. And we see pockets and glimpses of that. And when you see it, you're compelled by it. And when we come back in our fourth and final segment, we're going to talk a little bit about, hey, this is interesting. It's fascinating to hear Dr. McGee's story. But how do we see that played out in real life? How do we see that played out in our lives, in our churches, in our schools today? You're not going to want to miss this as we wrap it up and give some action points, some things that we can do to make a difference. Thanks for tuning into The Beacon.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Well, hey, I want to welcome you back. My name is Steve Woods. I'm the host of The Beacon. Today's show is very important and very meaningful, and we're really grateful that you've tuned in. Again, today is our guest, Dr. Jeff McGee, who is the founder CEO of Cross Cultural Dynamics. This topic that we're covering and what we just talked about, and the idea that the kingdom as designed by the God of the universe, whose handiwork is displayed in peoples of every size, shape, color, any category that you want to include or look at, is one that is not segregated. It's not segregated in heaven, and occasionally we get a glimpse of heaven on earth where we see it, and it's not segregated here. And that has everything to do with, I think, what pleases and puts a smile on God's face. And so together, you know, Dr. McGee, as we've been talking about cross-cultural dynamics in this final segment, I want to make sure that we get a chance to exchange some ideas, some suggestions, some thoughts, or maybe even a story of how God's using cross-cultural dynamics for our listeners so that they can see themselves in that picture as a part of that story. You know, we talk about this being a show about when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. And usually there are a couple of things that we can see as a trend that comes, that leads up to that. Right. And one is prayer. Mm-hmm. One is, God, if you really can use anybody, would you prove it by using a knucklehead like me? And that's my personal prayer. I mean, you may not want to refer yourself as a knucklehead. That's how it works for me.
Yeah.
And then the second is then availability, which comes as a part of that prayer. God, you know, I don't feel qualified. I don't necessarily know that I'm in the position of influence that makes sense. But you know, scripture is filled with people that were unlikely candidates that God chose to work through. And the Amen. Beauty of that is that when God does that, there's no confusion because you don't look at them and go, oh, it was the qualifications of this person. It was their whatever. It was God.
Amen.
And God gets the glory. So talk to us as it relates to how people can be useful
yeah.
to the master in this part of the mission.
Right. Yeah. So one thing, I have a really strong belief that we're created with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when right before I started Cross Cultural, I did a workshop for a small group in a church. And the small group just wanted to learn how they can love other people.
Awesome.
And which is the basis of Cross Cultural Dynamics is the scripture where Jesus says the second greatest commandment, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, right? So they just wanted to simply learn how to love other people. So we went through, I designed a five session curriculum for them and facilitated it. So throughout that session, we used the Bible. We talked about different things that I found in my research. I developed a model that we use for all of our clients on how to build collaboration across cultures. So this was actually the time to put it into practice, right? So as we went through the five sessions, we had a couple of people leave the session because I feel like they weren't on board with what God was doing. They really, I start following the ways of the world,
okay.
If I can say that. But the group that stayed was about 20 folks that stayed throughout the session. And at the end of it, the last session was, let's figure out what can we do in our community to make our community better. And what they chose to do was work with children, immigrant children on the border.
Okay.
And they said, we don't care, you know, which side of the road you stand on, whether you believe they shouldn't come here or whether you believe they should come here. The actual fact is they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And these are children that need help.
Right.
So they started a group from our session. They started a group and now they go down to Mexico, down to the border, I think every month now, and work with the children in that program.
Awesome.
So I just followed up with the group about 6 months ago just to see where they're at. And they are just on fire right now. They found their passion as a group. They've invited more people to come. So now they have this, it's very strategic now. They have the dates planned. They have more people going down. They're reading, they're bringing food, clothes. They're sharing the gospel to this group, these children down at the border. That really inspired me. And selfishly, that made me feel really good. But I know I'm just using the gifts and the talent that God has given me.
Right.
And I know God's blessing it. So go back to what we were saying in before, that, you know, when we come together and the group that we're working with or that we're involved with is a diverse group of people, I really feel that meets the requirements, if I could say, in quotes, of God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because God wants us working together. God doesn't separate us, segregate us. He wants us working together. So one of the things I recommend to people, to groups that are looking to take the next step, is start just building relationships with people that don't think like you, that don't mm-hmm. look like you, that don't act like you. You know, I can't tell you how many times I ran across people that are different from me, just in a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
in a coffee shop, just striking up conversation. And then developing a friendship over time, hearing their heart and hearing their story. That's just the easiest way to start building relationships and building connections. And then what we do at Cross Cultural, we do it in a more of a educational format to really give people the tools and equip people with the knowledge and the skills to move forward in their calling.
Well, and that's it. I mean, Jeff, again, we referenced earlier how by God's design, you know, you work in an environment that is experiencing or has experienced and continues to experience some transformational activity as it relates to being cross-cultural. Hearing Dr. McGee talk about the equipping for that, you know, speaking to that a little bit.
Well, I can hear my favorite pastor in my ear, my mind, that thy will be done, thy kingdom come, where? On earth. Yeah. As it is in heaven. And there's a, you know, there's an opportunity in our organization, the organization I represent, as I picture, as you're sharing here, mm-hmm. A room filled with a Latino, mm-hmm. African-American, autistic, Asian, Vietnamese, wealthy, and poor. Kids pulling up to school in a Land Rover and kids pulling up to school in the city bus. And an environment for them to live out and work out their salvation, which is another part of the journey,
right?
And learning to submit their personal kingdoms to the broader vision of the real kingdom mm-hmm. that God has for us. And I'm compelled and excited, and to give kids a safe place to navigate that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be messy. They're still figuring life out. Mm-hmm. As adults, we're still figuring
right.
it out. And what I appreciate about what you've shared too here is to give people an opportunity for vision.
Right.
And when we step out beyond ourselves, it almost supernaturally, driven by the Spirit, becomes an organic, mm-hmm. dare I say, natural outgrowth of who we are.
Right. And God never intended us to live life solo, right? We were built to live in community. And community is not the community as we see it here on earth. It's more of a spiritual community, the way God sees community. And I think that's the important, very important point is it's, as you say, Jeff, it's, you know, God's kingdom come on earth like it is in heaven. So earth needs to be a reflection of heaven. And if we don't reflect heaven, I think we're missing the mark.
Well, and a shout out to my fellow educators in public and private all over. It's, you know, we run into the room to teach our history and our English and our math lessons, but what's also going on is the hidden curriculum
right.
of guiding young people how to live and love and seek community.
Right, absolutely.
In a backdrop in which our country is so divided
right.
as we speak.
Well, and you know, I'm thinking in terms of, you know, someone who might be listening today, whether you're, you know, listening in your car on, you know, 960 The Patriot, driving around on a Sunday morning during our slot, or maybe you're on the treadmill and have happened to along our podcast and you're listening and you hear in the conversation something that maybe the Holy Spirit's been pricking your heart about personally to say, hey, this is an area that I'm compelling you to. And all of us, I think, would again say that it's a right thing, and yet, just like in your story, Dr. McGee, there was a pivot point.
Right.
And so maybe there's a listener mm-hmm. who's at a pivot point or has been, but hasn't known that next step. And I'm going to go out on a limb here because I hold in my hand a brochure for cross-cultural dynamics, and in red letters on this brochure, Dr. McGee, it says, you're offering a free 1-hour consultation and, ladies and gentlemen, a cup of coffee
yes.
on Dr. McGee. So, you know, maybe you're a person, and all of us have influence within, you know, community that we're a part of. And maybe you're like, man, I just have not known how to take that first step. And we've given some practical advice on, hey, have that cup of coffee in the Starbucks, find somebody that doesn't look like you, and start a conversation, which will lead to a relationship. But, yeah. You know, I'll put you on the spot, Dr. McGee. Is that offer for the cup of coffee still good for our listeners out there? You know, I know my daughter and my mom listen to our show, and we don't really know past that, you know, how many people get to hear the show every week. But are you still there for somebody or an organization who's interested in knowing more?
Yes, absolutely. And we put on there a free cup of coffee, and it's a comical, it's funny, but it's very strategic in a sense, because all it takes is sitting out and having a cup of coffee with someone that's different than you and just having a conversation.
Yeah.
So we use that also to say, okay, that's how we can meet different organizations and churches that are looking for some support, some collaboration. And you would be surprised, you know, through the years, I would say especially this past year, how many church folks, all the way from pastors to congregants, who want to go on this journey but just don't know how to go on this journey. And I feel like this is why God has me going in this direction, to specifically focus on the Christian church and Christian organizations, is to help people navigate through this journey. So yes, the offer still stands.
That's great.
We'll take you out for a free cup of coffee.
Well, who knows, Dr. McGee, maybe there's another small group of church folks that are like, you know, we've been talking about this. Let's reach out to Cross Culture Dynamics. Let's talk to Dr. Jeff McGee and see if we can't take him up on some of his coffee and his good ideas. I want to thank you sincerely, not only for being on the show, but for following the passion, the purpose that God has put on your life. All of us will benefit, as will the kingdom. And as we kind of come up with our last couple of minutes, Jeff, could you help us kind of sign off, give us a little update on PC, and again, thank Dr. McGee.
Well, you bet. Thank you. So thank one you. Of the things that happened this week is the head of school sat down with Dr. McGee and said, we have not arrived. There is still work to do, and we are eager to learn. And so I am blessed by the opportunity of cross paths with you. Danae, thank you for introducing us. And I'm excited to see where we go from here. Yes. So thank you for that. So just a shout out to our volleyball team, who advanced into the state playoffs just this last week. Girls, we're proud of you. You fought valiantly, and God bless you. And a shout out to our boys as they advance another step on Saturday. By Sunday, we'll know what happened, but we're making our way towards state. One more game to win, and we are there. So boys, we're praying and we're rooting for you. And just, I'd like the listener to know that academics is a huge, huge element of our focus and passion. Our students are taking the ACT Aspire exam. They begin taking it actually in third grade all the way up through their middle portion of high school, as we prepare them for their actual ACTs and get these young people into college with excellence. So if you'd love to support the ongoing mission and vision of Phoenix Christian, please visit our website, phoenixchristian.org/support.
And while you're at phoenixchristian.org, if you'd like to hear other episodes of The Beacon, /Beacon, phoenixchristian.org/Beacon. Thanks for tuning in. Again, Dr. McGee, thanks for being here. Jeff, appreciate you always. And appreciate our listeners. Thanks again for being a part of The Beacon family. Have a great day.